places we've never known. Fresh things in touch our hearts that we might.
I get so much I can't get anymore. God, I know with each breath I have the opportunity to have more of you in my life. So I say, come tonight. It's by your Spirit that I pray, by your name that I speak. Just touch our hearts, God. Souls prepared. We're prepared, God. Amen. Amen and amen. If you guys just want to meet me over here in this section right here, we're going to get. Check. Brian, come join us. Come here and sit with us. Well, you guys are the troopers. You have ran the race and came to this place tonight. You know, I don't even know how to talk right now to tell you the truth. But the Holy Spirit's going to speak. He's going to speak. This weekend is what we're about here at Live Youth Ministry. I'd trade 5,000 rock climbing trips for this. Like I've said so many times, when I get in God's presence, the things that I once thought were fun and dear just tend to lose their value. You've stood with me till tonight. I say stood with me. Because this youth ministry is not about me. It's not been about me. It's not been about anything that I've had to say. It's about you. It's not a me ministry. It's a youth ministry. It's a us ministry. This is our deal. This is God's Spirit tonight, guys. We've gone from the story of sin to the cross to new life to arise through hurt, through bondage and deliverance, through learning to pray. And now we come to the thing that was all pointing to, that this is all about. I'm going to be talking to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people, when I say Holy Spirit, you're going to have a lot of ideas run through your head. You're going to have a lot of things. If you're familiar with the Church of God, and by the way, I'm sorry I'm speaking on the microphone. Like, I really want some kids who are not here to get to hear some of this stuff. Like, I recorded John speaking, and I'm actually going to have the leadership who weren't here read it and write me an essay about what they thought about it. I told some of the kids on the way home that I'm going to give youth kids homework. But if you're a leader, you need to understand the realities of bondage and deliverance. And if they're not here, they're going to listen to it on the podcast, and they're going to write me an essay. So, just a little one-page thing just about what you think about it and how it applies to you. The Church of God, we're known for speaking in tongues. Tonight, I'm not going to be talking about speaking in tongues. It's part of what I'm going to speak about. But I want you to understand something. When I say the word Holy Spirit, I don't mean some manifestation of a tongue. I'm talking about the Spirit of God living inside your heart tonight. Now, see, a lot of people have the conception, well, they say, Holy Spirit, that to say that the minute that you become a Christian, you're filled with God's Holy Spirit. I don't see that. I don't see doctrinal proof behind it, because if that's the case, then the apostles would have never had a Pentecost. You see, there's a story in Acts chapter 2 about how these people, the disciples, the apostles, were filled with God's Holy Spirit. And it was something after they'd known Christ, something after they'd performed miracles, something after they'd seen demons flee, something after they'd spent time with the King, something else. Jesus says, wait, and I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. I don't know if you recognize the fact, but you're a vessel. You're a case. If I had a glass of water, and by the way, I'm not going to... This thing is really loud. I'm trying to back it down my shirt. I don't know about... I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to get very, very serious. I'm probably not going to... I'm going to smile, but this is real stuff. And don't think that if you're sitting here and you're saying, well, John, I've been filled with your Holy Spirit, that's good enough. No, I'm talking about, are you walking in God's Spirit tonight? You see, you're a vessel. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says this, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Did you know that you're a vessel? Did you know that you're a container of something? Did you know that your life is intended to hold something? And we spent all this time emptying all the crap and clutter out of your life. Now, I know for you, Jacob, you, and Luke, you've not really got the whole deal. We spent time emptying our hearts out, getting unforgiveness, getting hurt, getting all these things out of our time. And it's time that you get filled up with what you were meant to carry. You see, every life is meant to hold, every vessel is meant to hold something. If I have a container or cup like that is intended to hold a liquid, that is its purpose. You see, you are born to be a child of God. You are a child of God. You're born to do something more than sit and do nothing in your life, or just sit in a church and die one day and go to heaven. There's something more for your life than that. There's something more than you just simply existing. There's something more than you just coasting by. There's something more than just being a word Christian. There's something more than a prayer. There's something more than a day. There's something more than sitting in a church seat. I've got to tell you, there's a work we're called to do. But you need power to do it. And a vessel holds something. It's just like a house. You see, if I built this beautiful, amazing mansion, and it looks so great, and it looks so awesome, but no one ever lived in it, no one ever resided in that house that I'd built, you know that it would fall in disrepair in just a couple of years. I don't know, but it's something amazing about when someone lives in a house, it just tends to hold together. It's just like, just by the fact that someone is there, a house isn't going to fall apart. Your house didn't just fall apart. You've been living there for a couple of years, but you'll ever drive down the road and you'll see a house covered in vines and trees and the roof's broke in. Why? Because no one stayed there. No one tended it. Guys, tonight I'm going to talk about getting something inside you that's going to stand the test of time. Getting something inside your heart that's going to send you on fire. Something inside your heart that when Satan tries to throw crap at your life, it just bounces off. When Satan tries to let the lion come back and attack you after you've already killed a new lion come up, that it can't get in because there's something inside of you. Tonight, it is my prayer that each one of us would catch on fire for God. Who's heard that term, catch on fire? I want to be on fire for the Lord. We'll be on fire. I'm on fire for God. How many people really are? What does on fire look like? Well, if I was to say that I had a fire sitting here, I would see flames, I would feel heat, there would be consequences of that fire, that things would be consumed. Heat would be provided and light would be provided. But so many times, people as Christians live as just this little bitty light. And I've said this before, and this is going to surprise you guys back there, but I said, how retarded is a song, This Little Light of Mine? I hate that song. I'm sorry. I run half of you Sunday school, like vacation Bibles. I hate that song. Literally, I despise it. Shouldn't hate it. I hate this. Yeah, I do. I like that song. How dumb is it to have a little light? This little light of mine, I'm going to let shine. When you could have a raging inferno for God. I don't want a stupid little light. I want a bonfire so flipping big that when people even get within miles of me, they see God. That when I go to places, people can't not be there and not be affected by the light and heat. That people can't even be near me and not see. I want to be so burning and consumed for God that I can't even function. That people just get around me and something changes in their life as a consequence of what's burning in me. My gosh, this microphone's loud. Get this microphone. Are you going to? Yeah, Aaron. Okay, whatever. I don't need a mic. Put it on the podium. Okay, Randy will fix it. I don't know. But I'm telling you something. I'm sick and tired of a little lighted church. I'm sick and tired of a halfway lukewarm church. Do you understand that lukewarm fence riding people get spit out of God's mouth? Do you want to be lukewarm? Do you want to be normal? Do you want to be ordinary? Or do you want to be a raging inferno? I'm fully convinced that God says either you can live like a hellion or you can burn for me. We need to stop excusing normalcy. We need to stop excusing conditionality. We need to stop taking normal and ordinary as our way of life. The Son of God was not ordinary. His death on the cross was not ordinary. His gift of life was not ordinary. So your life should not be ordinary. Because if you dare call yourself the word Christian, you better back up the cross that comes first in that. The word Christian is to be Christ-like. Christ was not ordinary. His life blew the world in half. It's remembered. It's recorded by thousands of extra sources outside the Bible. He's the biggest man to walk across the scene of eternity. And I'm telling you, if you call yourself Christ-like, do you represent that? Does your life do something more? Does it do something big? Does it go somewhere? Does it do something? Does it burn? But you can't have a fire unless something on flame touches a source of fuel. You can't burn unless you get the source of fire in your heart. Luke 3:16 says this. Not John 3:16, Luke 3:16. I love you, Randy. I do. No weird stuff, just brotherly love. This Bible's got way too much studying in it. I don't have, my Bible's gone now. It says, John answered these questions by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Jesus coming onto the scene introduces the baptism in the Spirit and fire. My notepad is fun. I don't like notes. It's like the Holy Ghost. I'm going to introduce you to him here in a minute. I think we've got a church of people who feel the fire but don't live the fire. We have these great experiences in church, and I've heard people, I just feel so on fire for God. I feel God's Spirit so strong. But a week later, the feeling that you once had is gone because it was a feeling. It was an experience. You can come and get touched by God's Spirit, but my question is, what would it be like to live in that? What would it be like to that feeling when you feel like your heart is going to rupture out of your chest and you can't do anything but tell people about Jesus because all of a sudden the world doesn't matter anymore? What if you live like that? What if you had that fire that you felt start living inside your heart? What would it be like if you were a person who was so consumed and filled with fire that that was your normal state? That supernatural joy and fearlessness in God's Spirit is where you lived at. Boy, I want it. I don't like fear. My Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give me a spirit of fear, but one of power, of love, and of sound mind. Fear is not of God. It is not the thing of God. So when we're afraid to tell our friends about Jesus Christ, that is not God. Do you think Jesus conditioned his service on this earth, his act on this earth, to the culture? Do you know that Jesus walked up to the religious leaders of the time and called them vipers to their face? Do you know that in the face of evil in God's house, he took a whip and whipped people out of the temple? Does that Jesus offend your perception of Jesus? Is your Jesus the guy with the heart on his chest who just smiles and never does anything? No. My Bible says, for the kingdom of God advances violently and violent men take it by force. We'll add in and women there. My Bible says that the kingdom of God, this thing that we're living for, I'm not living for Alcohol Maryville Church of God. This church could be gone tomorrow and it would not affect my walk with Jesus Christ. This building could be blown to smithereens and it would not affect the Jesus in my life. Because I recognize I'm not here for a church. I'm not here for denomination. I'm here for a kingdom. The kingdom of God is here. But one day we're going to enter into it for eternity. You see, there's this kind of parallel. It's here, but it's not yet. You see, we're functioning because we recognize to be Christian is to not be bound by denomination. It's to be bound by a king. I'm living for a kingdom. My king is Jesus. And my kingdom that I live for advances violently. But I don't see a violently advancing church today. I don't see young people violently taking the gospel into their school. No, it's not that you take up and swat people across the face with Bibles. It's not that. But the very act of your radical, bold stance for the gospel is violent in nature. Your very living for Him is violence. And some of you are like, what? You're talking about violence? I'm talking about something that's moving, something that's attacking, it's forcing, because you're not fighting a war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Do you know that you're in a war? Do you know that you're in a battle? I've been talking about it for 3 weeks now in the youth. I can't get over this war mentality. And so that when it keeps on coming up this weekend, I'm like, Holy Spirit, thank you for confirmation. Thank you for confirmation of words. Thank you for showing us that we're in a war. And let me tell you what, the church is losing. The kingdom's been getting beat up for a while. I say the church is losing, the kingdom's not losing. My Lord, for a people who suddenly did not care about the world anymore but cared about God. My goodness, for people who did not have sensations of God's Spirit but habitually lived in a state where God constantly walked with them, God constantly put fire in their heart, God constantly spoke through them, God constantly touched them. You see, these times in God's presence are not to be occasions. It is to be a lifestyle. Tonight is an introduction to a man, not a man, the third part of the God called the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say something right here that's going to challenge some of your theologies. Do you know that Jesus Christ is never mentioned as living within your heart? That's actually speech of man. And we say, well, Jesus lives in my heart. Well, no, I'm sorry. Jesus isn't Emmanuel. Got really quiet. You see, that when you accept Jesus Christ, it's not Him coming into you, it's you giving yourself to Him. It's a relinquishment of yourself to Christ. It's not Him relinquishing self and coming in you. It's you giving yourself to Him so that when you say, my life is in Christ, you're in Christ. Christ isn't in you, you're in Him. Our life is not founded on ourselves, it is founded in Him. But I find it curious. Oh, so curious. Curious. I said curious. In Ephesians 5:18, it says this. This Bible has a lot of pages. A lot of pages. My goodness. You could really thump some heads with this Bible. Be not drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with God's Spirit. Be filled with the third part of God. Be filled with the Lord. Be filled with His presence. Be consumed by Him. Be completely spent up inside your vessel. Be completely filled to the brim of God. Not with liquor, for liquor will ruin your life. I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm not talking about getting fruity. I'm not talking about filling yourself up with more crap that's going to wreck your life. No, I'm talking about getting filled up with God. His Holy Spirit. You see, the curious thing is every time the Holy Spirit is spoken of, He's spoken of in the context. I say He. I say He. God is not an it. He's the King of the universe. Don't relegate Him to an it. He's a He. The Holy Spirit, He is spoken of to feel, to live within, to function inside you. But so many people live life apart from that functioning within. And we try to have these times in which God touches us. But what would it be like if God lived in us? Whoa, I'm getting kind of, I know this is going to get kind of weird for just a second. It's really challenging some thinking. What would it be like to not simply be around that fire, to not simply be near the fire, to feel the fire, to have sensations of fire, but to function in a state in which that was your life? Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is fire. It's power. It's dominion. It's the King of Kings living within you, so that when you face devils and demons and attacks from the enemy, you recognize that you have the power of God living in you and flowing through you. That it is not yourself speaking by your own might. So that when I know that recently we had a demon manifest itself in church. Oh gosh. I'm crazy, I know. People were praying. Then people were still praying. I got to go up and I got to pray for this young man. I got to sit and I got right up in his face. I mean, like from here. And I walked up. I didn't conversate with no demon. I didn't ask him his name. I said, "This is the Lord's place. This is God's place. You don't have the right to stay here anymore. And by the authority vested in me by the King of Kings, I say that you must bow down at the name of Jesus Christ. I say that your master must fall face down at the name of Jesus Christ. And I say that you must go." And I saw power as other people were praying too. We saw mighty victory. Now the young man had some issues after that, but I saw an instance of victory. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in God's Spirit. The question is the Spirit of God living within you? This is not about speaking in a tongue. Far too long have we spent many hours trying to hear people haka baka. But we've missed the power of God. The Holy Spirit is not about saying some foreign language. It is part of it, and it's one of the things that comes with it. Yeah, it's great. That's awesome. But I'm interested in the power of God. I'm interested in having the Lord of Lords, His Holy Spirit, reside in this vessel. I want Him in me so that when I go places, it's not me going because I have a Spirit of God living within me. That it's not me speaking because the Spirit of God is within me speaking. That it's not me telling people stuff. It's not me trying to come up with ideas. It's me listening and obeying and following because the Spirit of God is residing within me. He's within me. He's walking with me. He's talking with me. You see, Jesus is the one who's walking beside, but there's the Holy Spirit of God. You've not only got Jesus leading your life, but the Holy Spirit wants to come fill you. He wants to come up and take place in you. He wants to come up and take residence in your heart. He wants to live with you. He wants to live with you. You could have the Spirit of God, a source of fire that never runs out, a source of power that never runs out, a source of unction that when you're beat up, dead and dry, laying and you can't even hardly speak, a voice comes from within and gives you the strength to speak. That when you walk into your school, you were once afraid, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God is in your heart. He's actually living in you. And all of a sudden when you walk into the school, you feel a power come from within because He's living there. And the things that you once were afraid of all of a sudden become normal. That's a mouthful. But I don't want to relegate my Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to just a couple sentences. I want to let you know about Him. I want to let you know what He's wanting to do. There's one thing though. Got one catch. Got one big catch. Some of you in here, I know, have had experiences in which you feel like you've had the Holy Spirit. You might have spoken in tongue. I could go into the whole doctrinal dissertation on the three levels of speaking in tongues and hallelujah. I'm talking about tonight. A God who not only died for me, who not only took that cross Son of God sent from the Father above in heaven. Isn't it neat that we have a God that's not bound by time, not bound by place, not bound by man, not bound by thoughts, not bound by anything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. He's at every single place at every single time. And he functions within these three separate, I don't know what you'd call them. You could call it the Trinity. But God's just God. That's the word we came up with it for it. We see him called the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, the Son of God, brought to this earth to make atonement for our sins. And then you see this Spirit of God. That wants to live with you. Who wants to live in you. We can go to other God's graves. We could take a little pilgrimage and go look at some dead God. And how stupid it is to worship some man's bones. I'm kind of being quiet. I want you to think for a little bit. We could go to those places, but you can't find Jesus' grave. My God was not made by man's hands. My God was not made by some conception of idea. My God is the maker. And tonight, I don't know what your experience. I know each one of you sitting in here. And I know that you all have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that, pretty much. Maybe a couple of you are holding back from the Lord. You need to get that fixed. It'd be a good idea to get saved tonight. Dave Hogan. What we're doing this entire weekend was to get you so empty, so devoid of anything but Christ's life, that you could be filled up with His Holy Spirit. That you could be filled up with the Spirit of the living God. So anymore, you don't function anymore by yourself. Yeah, you have Jesus leading you, but you've got God in you. God cannot come to a defiled place. If you have anything in you that is unholy, He cannot come and abide. He can't come set up shop with you. And I'm not saying that if you say, Holy Spirit, come to me, that if you make a mistake, He's going to leave. No, I'm not saying that. But He can't come in the house unless the door's prepared to let Him come in. He can't come unless you are ready for Him to come. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, it says this, verses 12 through 14. It says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask of Him? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The conditional clause is you wanting Him. The conditional clause is you asking Him to come and live within you. You see, I was a crazy kid. At 16 years old, I got brought to this weekend retreat. A weekend so very much like this that actually this weekend's even padded off the weekend. That I was you, some of you, sitting in a chair. I came to this thing. Rebellion in my heart. Anger. I didn't believe in God. But I came and I said, I'm open to whatever you have. If you pray that prayer, you better be willing to reap the consequences of what you pray. So know that when you pray and you ask for more of God, He's got His Holy Spirit. There's a more. There's a something. There's a Jesus says, go wait and it'll come. There's a something else. There's something more than just Jesus. There's something that God. Oh gosh. I get excited. When I talk about God living with me, that not only is Jesus going to save my heart and lead me around and follow me, He's going to put His Spirit in me. That the Spirit of Christ, that the Spirit of God, that the holy, infallible Spirit of the Lord Almighty would come and live in an earthen vessel. That God would live in this tent with me. I wrote on my notes, the Holy Spirit's wanting to come abide with you. God's wanting to come and take residence with you. And He's not someone who's going to die in a ditch. He's going to stay forever. Until you shut your eyes one day on this earth and then you meet Him for real. And then for all eternity span, a time vast, we can't even put numbers on it. It's eternity. It's never ending. You will be with Him in complete part. You will completely share His presence. I didn't used to. I wouldn't get so tore up over thinking of one day meeting my Jesus. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to die anytime soon. I want to live to be 100. I want to do all I can for you, Lord. And one day I'll just die and that'll be awesome. I get to spend eternity with you. For some reason, like, it's been messing my head up. Not the thought that, hallelujah, glory of the Lamb, I'll get my mansion in the sky. No, it's I get to spend eternity with the King. But you know what? You can have eternity with the King right now. You can have the eternal presence of God living in you. The Spirit of God. Back to my story. I was 16. I said, God, whatever you want. I didn't even believe in God. I started getting a feeling about right here. I started getting the touch, the experience of the fire I'm talking about. Later on, I went up. Were you actually in front of me? Were you praying for me or were you playing? Yeah. Grant might have actually stood in front of me when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ 4 years ago. My four-year Christian anniversary was November the 11th. A lot of people have issues with young people doing the Lord's work. But I believe our walk with Jesus Christ is a question of how fast you want to mature. It's a growth process. How much you want of God is how much you're going to get. So if you sit here and you say, God, I want your everything, He's going to give it to you if you chase it down. You've got to want more of God. You've got to want more of Him in you. You've got to want His everything. Because iPads are great, phones are cool, but God, who cares when we get to heaven? If that stupid phone is keeping me from preaching the gospel to someone who's going to die and go to hell if I don't tell them, bust it out, I don't care anymore. How long will we sit in fear? How long will we wait back and let our fear of culture and political correctness paralyze the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know that your lack of telling people puts them in hell? Do you know that your inability and fear to preach the gospel could put people in hell? No, not that you're the one sending them there, but because you didn't tell them, they never knew. And because they never knew, they will meet the King of Kings and they will hear, depart from me. Do you know that people's eternity swing upon your ability to speak the word? That's a scary thought, isn't it? That you're walking by people could prevent them from knowing Jesus Christ and having eternity with Him. Scary. But it's a hard thing to do by yourself. That weekend, I don't know, led me in a prayer. My walk with the Lord's not been so much man-based. It's just been God put me on steroids and was like, go, son, I want you to do this stuff. But I went up there and my prayer was not, ABC, I will do this, I will do that. It was, Lord, I'm done. This is done. And that same prayer is going on today because I'm living out the done. I am done. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. So my life is over. Saturday goes through. I empty out my hate for my father. I got abandoned when I was 2 weeks old. My dad was doing drugs, still is doing drugs. He got arrested 4 days ago. DUI. Just normal to me. Some people were like, John, why is somebody? I was like, it don't bug me. I pray that God would save him. Pray that Lord, he'd get a hold of the Lord. I emptied my heart out, pornography, of all these things that I'd hidden. All this hurt that I bound up, all these addictions that I'd carried. And I felt like I was light as a feather. Well, we go in this tent. There's a church called Rio. It's a great place. Tent's gone now. It's in Africa. People are getting saved in it in Africa now. And I hear a message just like you've heard right now about how if you want more of God, you need to ask of Him to fill you up with His Holy Spirit. You don't need to completely understand every part of the Holy Spirit because when someone comes to your house, you don't know everything about them. You know that they're in your house and you learn more about them as they abide there and stay there. So tonight, as you pray to fill up the Holy Spirit, you don't need to completely understand every parameter and doctrinal position of God's Spirit to have Him live with you. You will learn those things. You will experience more of Him as He lives with you and you grow in Him. The question is, are you going to open up the door of your heart and let the King of Glory, God's Spirit, come and reside within you? Are you going to open up the door and say, come to my house and live? And you know what? If you do, He will. So we're in the tent, and I hear something just like that. And I said, God, I want your Holy Spirit right now. I want your Holy Spirit right now. God, fill me up to the brim with you. I want everything I can have of you. No one prayed for me. I was in awe. I just started dancing. I started saying, God, I want you. I want everything that's in me to be filled with you. Something started happening. Something started hitting my chest. First, I thought I was sick. And then this fire started burning in my heart. Something that I couldn't explain, that I couldn't understand, that I couldn't, I don't know what it was like. It was like that feeling I had when I gave my heart to the Lord, but it didn't stop. And it kept getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Do you know fires will grow to the point that they're fed with fuel? And it kept on building and building and building and building. And we have people up here like, tonight we're going to have groups of people and you're going to come up here and meet us. We're going to pray for you. And you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive God's Spirit. I'm going to say, if you're going to, if you ask. I don't know. I got up there. I don't know if anyone touched me. 30 minutes later, I had such a fire in my heart. I think I could have burned down China or something. All of a sudden, yeah, I spoke in tongues. Spoken other languages I didn't understand. What I didn't know was God was giving me a language that the enemy can't comprehend, a language that's not of men, that's of angels. The tongue. I mean, I could go into all these things. But yeah, that was part of it. But what I want to key on is I had this power in my heart that all of a sudden I went back and told my friends, I'm now saved. They made fun of me. People looked me in the face and said, I mean, could you imagine the kid who made fun of Christians giving his heart to the Lord in one weekend and getting filled with the Holy Ghost? But you know what? Something all of a sudden happened. Things just bounced off of me. I was like, that's nice you have an opinion. Glad I don't consult you. I've got God living in me. God living in me. God living in me. God moving in me. And you know what? All of a sudden, all being popular just began to fade into the air. You know, I was once I was the class clown, the funny person. All of a sudden, that didn't matter anymore. All of a sudden, I just got to school. And all that mattered is the fact that if I don't tell you, you could go to hell. I didn't go up and smack people with a Bible. I went up and said, can I be your friend? Can I be your friend? Can I introduce you to the man that changed my life? I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to stick a sword in my chest, but it didn't happen. And now this God that I spoke about, and I'm so excited I can hardly stand still. This God that I spoke about, man, He's living in me. And I lost all my friends. But I made new ones. Do you know when I was 14, I went and said a prayer at Resurrection and had close to a feeling like that? And I came back and within a week it was gone. I'm not talking about a prayer. I'm not talking about another time which you come up and kneel at the altar. I'm talking about a time in which God touches you and you're never the same again. That once before you were a sinner, but now you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and you're a saint. Don't you call yourself no sinner. Your identity is not no stinking sinner. You're a child of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you down yourself. Yeah, I might sin, but the sin that I might fall into at points in time does not dictate my identity. Your identity is a child of God, a daughter of God. Eddie Rayburn looked at me earlier and said, we have royal blood flowing through our veins. Do you know that the Bible talks about you ruling with Christ? Ooh. That I get to rule with Jesus forever? and ever, because I'm a child of God, and because I'm a child of God and He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that makes me a prince, that makes me an heir to the King's royal line. Do you know that I'm not just another person? Do you know that you're not just another person? That you're a blood-washed saint of God? You're a child of God? You are of royal blood? You are not destined to go to hell? Hell was not made for people. It was made for Satan and his foolishness. Hell is not a place for you and your friends. Hell is not a place for your family. Hell is not a place for Maryville High School. Heaven is where you're made to be. You were meant to be with God. If you weren't, there never would have been a walk in the garden. You see, that's not how we're supposed to live. You're not meant to live like hell and go to hell. Your identity is heaven. This weekend is about setting your sights on the heavens. Now is the time in which we set our sights on heaven. Here in a little bit, just a couple more minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I once saw a man named Hank Epperly. Or that was Nick Russell, actually. Preached a message. And he had this cup. When it was actually the message in which I gave. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I had this little cup. And he said, "This is your life. I want you to imagine if this is you. You can only hold up a set amount of water, a set amount of God's Spirit on your flesh." Flesh is flesh. You have experiences of God. Yeah, you can live for the Lord and have your heart there, you know, for Him and give it to Him. Stuff like that. But if, say, this is me pouring out God's Spirit to my school, to my workers, to all the people that I know, I can only pour out so much liquid. I can only reach so many people. But when you tap into the Holy Ghost, God's Holy Spirit, Him living with you, all of a sudden, you don't have access to a cup anymore. You have access to a never-ending river of living water. All of a sudden, what you once could do turns into nothing because you've got God's Spirit living in you. He took a Gatorade cooler and dumped it and said, "That's you with the Holy Spirit. Who wants Him?" You're going to get Him. I want more of His Spirit. I want more of Him in me. And if you've had experiences with the Holy Spirit, that doesn't define you tonight. If you want complete abiding presence in the Holy Spirit, I believe you're going to get it if you ask for Him. I believe that tonight lives are going to change. That tomorrow morning at church, people's minds are going to be blown because they're going to see youth burning on fire. That when people come in this church, their minds are going to be blown and they can't walk in here anymore and not feel God. But a church isn't just a place that we feel God. That all of a sudden, when you're filled with God's Spirit, people cannot help but recognize what's living within you. Because all of a sudden, your life is over and it's the life of Christ, the life of God's Spirit functioning within you. Buddy, I'm excited. But I know only at the point at which we function within God's Holy Spirit, only at the point in which we're flowing and moving in Him and filled with Him, will we truly burn. Will we truly catch this county ablaze? I believe God has promised us 1,000 youth with everything that's in me. Not just 1,000 youth, but 1,000 disciples. 1,000 disciples of Jesus Christ here at this church and this ministry. Every bit of me. I can tell you of visions that I've had. I was walking into Rio's basement one day, a little bit like a year after I was a Christian, and all of a sudden I checked out and I was on this dusty plane. And this wind was blowing to the side and it was really hard to see. And I couldn't hardly see anything. And all of a sudden I stopped. And I was walking and I looked behind me and I saw thousands of people. A little bit after that, I preached a message about stars. You know, Paul says that I would condemn myself to hell if it meant that I could get more people for Christ. I don't know the exact wording on it. If it means that I have to spend eternity apart from God, we've got to get to the place. I can't even talk. Your Spirit, God, gives me strength. We've got to get to the place that we're so in love with God
And we don't do it for the reward anymore. And we don't do it for our prize. It is so about telling others that we would do anything to get them. If it means I'm going to make a fool and talk to this girl like, you know, she's going to date me and get her okay because she meets the king. If it means I've got to go to schools, I'm going to just say hello to people. It's amazing. If it means I've got to give up the possessions that I hold dear and spend my money on other things, that's fine. I don't need money. If it means that I lose friends, that's okay. But it only happens when he's in you. He can only have a passion like that. That passion is supernatural. You can't have supernatural passion out of flesh. You can only get to the point to where nothing else matters when he is the only thing in you. The world could be changed right here. You could change the world. Anthony, Luke, Miranda, Raymond, Daniel, just you could change this county. Just you could change Knox County. Just you. But the you I speak of is a you only filled with God. The you I speak of can only do these things when we have God in us. Because we cannot do the supernatural. You know that telling people about God is a supernatural thing because your flesh rebels against it? Do you know that telling others about God is a supernatural thing because that is not natural? That is not flesh. You are flesh. Flesh is inherent to sin. But when you have spirit in you, the Spirit of God, it's no longer there because the Spirit kills the flesh. The Spirit of God triumphs over every lie and whim and fleshy attack of the enemy. So that when you have God's Spirit in you, you're not bound by the natural anymore. Do you know that when you're filled with God's Spirit, I can walk up to a blind person and it is reasonable for me to know that they're going to see when they walk away? Do you know that when you're filled with God's Spirit, you can walk into your school and people could begin to come to Christ and you not even say anything because the Spirit of God is so strong in you, they start getting convicted? I believe you can walk into places and your very life convicts people of their sin. It's not your life, it's the Spirit. You know that people cannot come to Christ unless the Spirit draws them in. It's not you drawing people. Understand that. I say you, but I say the you on condition of your moving in Him. So when you're filled with God's Spirit, it's not you moving, it's His Spirit moving. Yeah, you're the one who's doing and following His footsteps and according to what He's saying. But do you know that they could cart a dead person in here and my Bible says I could pray for them and they could rise to life? That it's reasonable to expect dead to rise. That it's reasonable to expect when kids come here with leukemia, they walk out and doctors can't comprehend their healing. Do you know that I expect every person to be healed? Jesus did, and he said greater things. You know, every single person recorded Jesus prayed for they were healed. And if Jesus says, I'm going to do greater things, it is nothing more than less that I expect every person might be healed. So that when you speak of Darren, it is reasonable to know that he is going to be healed. So that when I hear of kids with cancers in these schools, it is reasonable to know that we could pray for them and the sickness would leave in Jesus Christ's name. That is reasonable. It is reasonable to think when you're living in God's Spirit that a revival would hit this county that people would couldn't understand. What would it be like if classes and schools can't even function because so many people are getting saved and so many people are getting filled with God's Holy Spirit that our normal things don't even function anymore? Because you're not living for what you see. You're living for eternity. I love that. I'm not living for what I see because I'm living in the Spirit. Not only is He living in you, your life then becomes the Spirit. You're living in the Spirit of God. So that when I speak to you, I don't speak of my own power. I speak out of the Spirit that is within me. So that when I go to the schools and get made fun of by kids and come back up and laugh at them, it is because the Spirit of God strengthens me. It is because I do not function on my own. And yes, I know that I talk fast, but it's hard not to talk fast when you're so excited, when you've got something so, gosh, so in you.
my goodness, that you're so consumed that you don't even remain anymore. It's a fire. It's a burning. Fire consumes things. And when you get the Holy Spirit of God in you, He consumes more and more of your flesh, and you get more and more of His Spirit. And eventually, hopefully, I mean, you know, I'm praying to the point where I don't have to tell my flesh to shut up much anymore. That I don't have to say, because He's been so in me, that I'm so consumed with Him anymore, that my desires are gone. That I just go. He says go, okay. If He says go to China, then I'm going to China. That if He says go to the school, stand up on a lunch table and preach, that's fine, I will do it. If He says listen to people and find holes in their conversations, just tell the gospel to them. Wait, be their friend, then I will do it. If it means to fast for a month, I don't care, because He said do it. If it means putting back my food to have more of Him, then that is reasonable. I love that talk, John. This is reasonable. This is reasonable. You are reasonably required to be filled with God's Spirit. You want the power. You want the anointing of God. You want the fire to burn within you. You need the Spirit of God up in you. You cannot win on your own. My goodness, to the point to which we get hit with storms, we don't have to take a knee and pray. We're already praying because we've got the Spirit of God in us. We don't have to stop because He's already in us, and He's already been working, and He's already been speaking. So what here in a minute we're going to do is we're going to have you come up here, and we're going to have you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you're sitting in here and you've been filled with the Spirit before. But you feel like that kind of waned away, that the fire just kind of slipped away. Maybe you've had experiences. I'm talking about getting filled for real. I'm talking about to the point to where you don't function outside of that anymore. That it's not a once every 6 months experience. It's an everyday experience. That He's so in you. Yeah, people might jump. People might shout. People might get excited. People might speak in tongues we don't understand. But it's about the power and Spirit of God living in you. And what's going to happen is you've got to want Him. You've got to ask Him. You've got to say, it says in the Word, if men can give the children good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give you a good gift if you ask? So it is reasonable that when we ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit, He will do it. He will do it. But you must want Him. He wants you. He wants you. He wants to live with you and abide with you, live in you. Give you strength to speak to the world. It is a hard thing to speak the gospel without the power. It is a hard thing to do these things. But could you imagine a life in which you just followed the Spirit of God? So that when you walked in the school, you felt a voice from within you say, I want you to pray for them. They're to receive their hearing back. Maybe it's a girl in your school who has a hearing impairment. I knew several girls very well that were hearing impaired. And you feel a voice from within you say, John, it is not my will for my children to be sick. You know, it's not God's will for people to be sick. It's not God's will for people to be deaf. It's not God's will for people to be bound in wheelchairs. It's not God's will to do that. Well, it's just something I'm passing with. I don't want to touch back on this, Miss Belinda, but I believe His healing is completely contingent on the fact that you're not satisfied with where He's at. Her son, Darren, is going to be healed. Enough said. You see people in the Bible, blind people come to Jesus and they want Him. The blind man, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up, you fool. He can't hear you. You don't cry out to Jesus. No, Son of David, have mercy on me. That we get to the point, you see there's desperation and they got healed. So if you say, God, I want you. And if it means that I have to shout and say, I want you, fill me up. That it happens. We should get so desperate that we want everything of God that ourself isn't there anymore. Son of David, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I want you to fill me. And He does. Then all of a sudden, that fire begins to do stuff within you. Miracles begin to happen and it just becomes ordinary. We've got a lot of people who might be filled with God's Spirit but aren't walking in the fullness of it. We're to walk in the fullness of God's Spirit. Some people get filled with God's Spirit and they act like it's just something we do on Sundays or, well, I just get touched by the Lord and say, no. I'm talking about an abiding thing. I'm not talking about a Sunday, Wednesday kind of thing that you get touched in church by. When some great man touches your head, you feel the Spirit of God. No, I'm talking about a lifestyle. Don't you ask for Him unless you want Him to live with you. When you live with someone, they're there to stay. When I go home tonight, my mother will be there because that is her house. So that when you ask the Holy Spirit to come abide in you, you're asking Him to come live with you. So that everywhere you go, He is residing with you, for you are the temple of Him. John talked about that earlier. You're His home. But you know, someone can't come in your home unless they're not welcome. Unless you say, come on in. So, before I call the prayer, people up here. Grant, go ahead and go to the piano. I like music. It's just good. You know, we're going to worship in heaven. That angels sing. Music's in heaven. I just like a little bit of heaven right now. I'm not saying that Grant's like heaven on keys, but man. I want you to begin to prepare your heart. Just as people, when they come to your house, that you must open up the door and say, come on in. Right now, I want you in your heart, if you're not completely walking in His Spirit, I'm not talking about if you've had a touch, maybe you've never had His Spirit come live within you. I want you to begin to say, you're welcome here, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. You can come live with me. I want you. Get desperate in your heart. Begin to say it. I want you. I want you. Just in your mind, just calling out to God. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people might talk about, well, we're going to pray for this amount of time. No, I believe that at the point that you ask Him to come, I don't have to lay hands on you. I don't have to pray for you. God can fill you up right now. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to know it's there. You're going to know it's there when it comes. You're going to begin to feel the fire. You're going to begin to feel the burn. You're going to begin to feel the power reside in you. Supernatural life that is not of yourself. And yeah, once He's there, a lot of crazy stuff's going to happen. It's hard not to get excited when God's Spirit is in you. It is hard not to say amen someone or to get excited when someone comes to the Lord. It is hard not to do these things. And I'm going to tell you what, part of this is going to be, yes, the speaking in tongues thing. That's part of it. God gives us the ability, an amazing thing. It's not something that we do to impress people, no. And it's an ability to communicate with the Father. You see, when that Spirit comes in you, He also talks within you. In a voice that you can hear, and then in a voice that communicates to the Father. So that when I speak of another language, it's not going straight through me to another person. No, it's a language going to the Father's ears. So that I know that when this voice comes out of me, it is the Spirit of God praying through me directly to the Father, the King of Kings. And the enemy cannot comprehend the speech. The enemy cannot stop the speech. And the Spirit of God is praying in me. That's going to be part of it. You've got to not be afraid. You've got to be ready for Him to come and live within you. Can I get everyone to stand up? Get everyone to shut their eyes right now. I'm not going to tell everyone to come out of their seat on this, because I don't want you up here if you don't want Him. I don't want you to waste my time right now, because there's people who are going to be filled up with the Spirit of God in here. There are people that have been touched before who are going to get an abiding presence tonight. If you're an adult filled up with the Spirit of the Most High God, and you're ready to pray for young people, I want you to meet me up here right now. These adults are going to do, they're going to look you in the face and they're going to ask you a question. It's going to be, do you want Him? And if the answer is yes, and you say, yes, I want the Holy Spirit, they're going to look at you and we're going to say, then ask Him to come in you. Ask Him to come live with you. And as you have been emptied, you will be filled. For my Father is a good Father. He sits in heaven. He only gives good gifts to His children. And how would the Father in heaven not give gifts when men could give gifts to their children? The Father in heaven would give the best gift of all, His very Spirit unto us. So here's what happens. I'm going to start praying. And I want you, if you want the Spirit of God to live in you, to be filled up to the brim, to the very capacity of His Spirit, I want you to come out of your seat and meet me up here. And this is the night which you will remember for the rest of your life, that God came to live within you. And you will look back and say, that is the day that I caught on fire. That is the day that I burned without ceasing. That is the day that things began to be changed. That is the day He came to live in me. So here it is. Here's the chance. Here's the opportunity. And if you're a leader in here, I don't care what title you might have. God is an equal opportunity blesser. He's willing to touch you with His Spirit tonight. Don't be afraid because you might have a position here. I'm not judgmental because my Lord living within me is not. Just begin to pray right in your seat right now. If you're wanting this, I'm going to start praying. And when I get done praying, I'm going to say, come. I'm not going to count. I'm not going to do anything. I want you to meet me here if you want His Spirit. Right as soon as I get done praying, I'm going to say one word, come. And you meet us up here. And these women and these men are going to pray for you. And you're going to receive the Spirit of God as you've asked Him to be filled. So here's the deal. Here's the moment in which you get filled with the Most High God's Spirit. Father God, right now, I pray for these. By Your Spirit and by Your power, God, that as they have sought You, so might they be filled. God, I pray for a desperation in the hearts of these young people, that they would not be satisfied with ordinary. God, that they would want Your Spirit. God, You are a good Father, and You're going to fill them with the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ, the one who saved our hearts, we are here tonight, and You made the way open so we might be filled with Your Spirit. God, out of the abundance of my spirit, God, tonight, God, out of the abundance of these men and women's spirits, God, we're earnestly yearning that others might be filled with You, Lord. So God, I say, start filling hearts right now, right now, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to fill them up, Lord. God, as even before they step out of their seat. And here in just a second, God, I want You, God, tonight is the night in which life is a new.